Now then, I've got to review. I'll bring another sermon next Sunday morning. I won't be as busy this week. And Brother Colston will not be reading the scriptures next Sunday morning either, I think for sure. If I can't get a new passage, I'll get a new passage reader. But anyway, you know the story. If you don't know it, you haven't been here. The Moabites were causing problems. They were about to attack. There's a big battle raging between the Moabites and God's people. And God's people didn't have a chance at all. But God miraculously came to their rescue. But of course, God doesn't come to anybody's rescue until he meets God's conditions. So God said, I want you to go out in the valley now and dig some ditches. And he said, you dig those ditches, and I'll show you what I'm going to do. They went out to the valley and they dug those ditches, as God had said. And then God caused water to come. As I said last week, some folks think it was a seepage from beneath. Some think it was rain from above. I think it was rain, but it doesn't matter. It's a miracle, and God sent water. Now, the next morning, by the way, when he sent that water, the Bible says the people drank and were refreshed, and the cattle drank, and the beast, that's the beast of burden, they drank, and the people were refreshed because of the water. But the next morning, when the sun came up, God caused the sun to shine on that water in those ditches, and it looked like blood. God put a certain hue of the sun reflecting, and it looked like blood. And the armies of the Moabites looked over, and they saw that, they said, that's blood. And they began to surmise, and they said to each other that their leaders have killed each other, and they have killed each other, and that's the blood of the Israelites there. They said, let's go get the spoil. Let's go loot and take the spoil, get what we can. They're all dead. So they came over unprepared for battle to get the spoil, thinking that this was the blood of the Israelite army. And the truth is, it was a miraculous God performing a miracle in order to deliver his people. And when they came, they were unprepared for battle, and the Israelites attacked them and slew them and won the battle. Now, I want you to notice here what God did in this thing. The first thing God did, he gave them water so they could drink. The Bible says they drank. That's what God did. Second thing that God did, God gave their cattle water to drink. And if the cattle got water to drink, that means that the water came and caused the crops to grow better, and the cattle were healthier, and God took care of their cattle. Third thing that God did, as I implied, the crops got rain, and the people had more food to eat, the cattle had more food to eat, and so the people enjoyed the steaks more, and the roast more, and the McDonald's hamburgers, the Big Macs, and so forth more. And because they had less grease, the people had been blessed of God. Then something else. The people got food. Something else. Their lives were saved. Something else. They had victory in the war. Now, those of you that were alive in World War II, which is the last war America won, probably the last war we'll ever win. We can't even lick Vietnam now. We used to lick Germany, Adolf Hitler, and everybody else. Mussolini. But if you remember those days when the war was over, I'll never forget that day when the war was over. Now, God gave them victory in the war. He saved their lives from the Moabites. He kept freedom in the land. He gave them food to eat. Their crops got rain. Their cattle drank. Their beast of burden drank. And they had refreshing water to drink also. Now, why did God do this? Now listen to this. Why did God do this? Did God do this because the people had revival? Not one single reference in this to revival whatsoever. No single place does it tell us in this passage that the people repented and God delivered them because the people repented. There's not one single passage here about a nation getting right with God. Now, God delivered this nation. He gave them water to drink. He gave their cattle water to drink. He caused their crops to be better. He gave them victory. He saved their lives. Now, why did God do it? Well, I'll read it to you. Were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. The people, see the people drinking.
They didn't know why they were drinking. They were drinking because of one man, Jehoshaphat. One man.
God told Elisha to say this, I wouldn't even regard, you wouldn't win this battle, I'm doing it for Jehoshaphat. You wouldn't have the rain, I'm sending the water for Jehoshaphat. You wouldn't have the health of your cattle if it weren't for Jehoshaphat. You wouldn't have the crops so greatly increased if it weren't for Jehoshaphat. Now, the people didn't know that. See the people drinking? They didn't know why. See the cattle grazing? The people didn't know why. See the crops growing? The people didn't know why. See the tables full and the barns overflowing? The people didn't know why. See the nation at peace? The people didn't know why. They did not understand it, but God said, there's one man down there, and I am going to save that nation, give them food, increase their crops, give water to their cattle. I'm going to give a refreshment to them. Why? Because of one man. Now, I don't know of any better argument for you to run with the right crowd than that. I do not know of a single place in all the Bible that gives you one better reason to run with the right crowd. I mean, God's not going to bless this nation because the guy you're sitting beside the bar. I mean, God's not going to save this nation because the long-haired hippie sitting beside you at the rock concert. I mean, what you better do is you better get in the right crowd, and you better run with the right crowd, and you better stay close to those people whom God will bless so you can get the fallout. Let me tell a story that I've told a time or two here in the past. I was out of town, and a little girl didn't know it. She's 4 years old, and she's watching a television set, and she came by herself, and she came running into her mother. And she said, Mama, call for the house, this house, and see if he's in town. Her mother said, Honey, why? She said, I'll tell you why after you do it. Call him quick and see if he's in town. I've got to know. And the mama said, Honey, I'm not going to call for the house unless you tell me why. We just can't call for the house because you want me to. Why? The little girl said, Mommy, I'll tell you why you got to call for the house. That's now. Call him now. Call him now. And she said, Well, tell me why and I'll call him. She said, Because I just saw the weather report on television and they said a tornado is coming toward Hammond. And if Brother Howes were in town, a tornado wouldn't dare come to Hammond. But the house in town, you got enough wind here already. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. I have some kind of feeling that she's right. Hesitate to say it. Maybe wrong. Sure as I say that, a tornado blew my house down this afternoon. Well, Miss Howes will save it. She saved my neck last Friday afternoon at youth conference. You missed it. You missed it. You just missed it. Super Christian failed, but oh, did I not say it? But it may happen again. But I'm saying that the honest, simple truth is, every single one of us has a little world where we cast our shadow, and there's a fallout if we're the kind of person that we ought to be. You know, this whole world doesn't realize it, but we Christians are what's keeping this thing together. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 says, Only now he who now letteth or hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Let me tell you something. If it weren't for a bunch of born-again, blood-washed children of God in this old world be rotten today. We're the Christian people. We're the salt of the earth. We're keeping the whole thing from decaying and rotting. If they make fun of us, you better thank God for us. You better thank God there's still some blood-washed, born-again, blood-bought people who know Jesus. Why? Because God would destroy this nation today if it weren't for His born-again people. The world better thank God. Our nation doesn't realize it, but God's people are the ones keeping this nation decent, and the unsaved people in America are eating today because of us. The rain that falls because of us. The crops that come because of us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says,
If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Do you know why the United States of America is the most prosperous nation on the face of the earth? God has more people here than a nation on the face of the earth. You know why America has a higher standard of living? I'll tell you why. Because the prosperity and the blessings come from God, and God sends forth His blessings on a people, His own people. And the unsaved folks in America are just living off the fallout that God has given to His people. The old Calumet region doesn't understand it, but the church she hates the most is what's blessing the Calumet region. I sat in my office Friday afternoon. I got to thinking, why don't the Hammond Times tell something about the fact that we packed all the motels in the area? Wonder how many people, wonder how much money was made this week by the motel business. Why? Because the fallout that comes from the old church downtown. I wonder how many restaurant owners are more have profited more this week than they have in a long time. Why? Because 7,000 teenagers came and they had to eat. I thought about the motels, the restaurants, the service stations. And maybe the country populated by unsaved people, their nation may have been saved Friday morning. Let me tell you something. If you never get saved, if you're not a child of God and you never trust Christ as your Savior, you ought to thank your lucky stars. You can't thank your God. Thank your lucky stars that America, all of this nation, has a bunch of born-again fundamental believers that love this book and love the Savior and have trusted Him. It's because of God's people this land has plenty. God said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send some water. You dig the ditches, I'll send the water. I'm going to send the sun so it'll shine just right on that water tomorrow morning. So that the enemy that's going to kill you if you don't have divine intervention. And let me tell you something else. The only thing that's going to save America today is divine intervention. I mean, the Congress is not going to save America. I mean, the Supreme Court, they're going to ruin it. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. That means the land of unsaved people is healed because of God's people staying right with God. You want to see a picture of it? You just remember how Sherrville, Maryville, Crown Point area looked 17 years ago.
19 years ago.
Before we went out there with our schools. Remember how it was in the woods. Well, you say, what's happened? We went out there. And now then, it's been built up. You say, you think all that building's because of you? Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't there before we moved out there. Sure. Several thousand people moved out there. Well, you see, other folks moved out there. Sure, they moved out there to sell food. There are several thousand people. And they built stores to sell food. There are several thousand people. And that several thousand people that came to feed our several thousand people had to buy gasoline, so they had to build service stations to take care of the several thousand people of ours that are out there and the several thousand people that came to feed our several thousand people. Now you've got several thousand people that we sent, plus several thousand people feeding us, plus several thousand people running the service station. Now you've got to have several thousand people to move out there to take care of all the other businesses. I'm simply saying, listen, you like it or not, and the old heathen world doesn't believe it, but what you ought to do is jump up and down and say, thank God for Dr. Hiles. And thank God for First Baptist Church of Hammond. And thank God for Hiles Anderson College. The only reason America is alive today, because of God's people. Remember Peter, Acts chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. The Bible said that Peter, his shadow, people got in his shadow and they got healed. They brought people. As Peter walked down the street, they brought people and put people in Peter's shadow.
and they were healed. The blind eyes were open and deaf ears were open, and sick for lame folks got up and walked. Why? Because of the shadow of one man. You have a little world. You don't have a world that's big as America. Most of you don't have a world as big as my world. Nor do you have a shadow as big as my shadow, but you have a shadow. And you have your own little world. Now the honest truth is, your shop where you work, you ought to be so close to your God that people that work in your shop get blessed because you work there. Those of you that work in offices, you ought to be so close to God that your very presence in those offices causes blessings. I'm talking about material blessings. At your school, your very presence ought to call a fall out. Listen, if God sends rain on me, you're going to get wet too. If God sends rain on you, I'm going to get wet too. If God makes an area to prosper because of this man over here, then all of us are going to prosper because of him. The people had food because of Jehoshaphat. The people had rain because of Jehoshaphat. The people had bigger beefsteaks because of Jehoshaphat. The people had better crop because of Jehoshaphat. The people had more fried okra because of Jehoshaphat. The people had more squash because of Jehoshaphat. People had more turnip greens because of Jehoshaphat. And the Big Macs were bigger because of Jehoshaphat. And the Whalers were bigger because of Jehoshaphat. And they had more McDonald's because of Jehoshaphat. And the whole nation prospered because of one man. And I want to be that man. I want to be so the kind of person so everybody around me can be blessed from the fallout of the blessings that God pours out upon me. And that's what you ought to be. Several observations. One is, be that kind of person. One person like that could have spared Sodom from destruction. One person. Abraham came to God and said, God, I've got my nephew Lot there in Sodom. Would you not destroy the city? God said, you find 50 righteous people there, I won't destroy the city. Abraham tried to find 50 righteous, failed, came back and said, God, if I could find 40, would you spare the city? God said, I'd spare the city for 40. Abraham came back and said, I couldn't find 40, would you spare the city for 30? And God said, yes, I'll spare it for 30. Abraham came back and said, I couldn't find 30, would you spare the city for 20? And God said, I'll spare the city for 20. Abraham came back and said, I couldn't find 20. Would you spare the city for 10? And God said, yes, sir. You find 10 righteous people, and the city of Sodom will not be destroyed. Their courthouse won't be destroyed. Their houses won't be destroyed. Their children won't be killed. Their hospitals won't be destroyed. The fire will not fall from heaven for 10 righteous people. That means if Lot had won 9 people to Jesus Christ, Sodom would have been spared. I am convinced today that the ministry of this church and the ministry of our pastor school and the ministry of our youth conference is at least to a large degree responsible for the very freedom we have in America today. Amen. Mr. Sumner, say what you want to say. Call it bragging, call it what you want to call it. You better thank God there's been a First Baptist Church of Hammond in our lifetime. Hollywood crowd wouldn't have food to eat today if it weren't for the Christian people. The tavern keepers wouldn't have food to eat. God said, I'll bless my people, and the blessings that God has shined upon us cause rain to fall upon them, and they eat the same places we eat and have the same crops we have and have the same cattle we have. And the United States of America is better today because of God's people, and Hammond, Indiana is better today because of God's people, and the city of the Hammond Times ought to write a headline tomorrow in the paper, the main headline, praise God for First Baptist Church of Hammond. The editor down there, God bless his lying hide, the editor down there has better food to eat, a safer town to live in, and a better car to drive, and people can afford his newspaper. Why? Because God has blessed this area. Why? Because of God's people in this area. That's why. Be that kind of person. Listen to me. I'm preaching. Be that kind of person. You be the kind of person even your wife is blessed because God blesses you. Be the kind of person that those that live in your house are blessed because God blesses you. Be the kind of person like Jehoshaphat that even your neighbors are blessed because God blesses you. Number two, observation. Get your family around that kind. You get your family around that kind. And number three, you stay close to that kind yourself. You say, "Preacher, I can't change America." Now listen to me carefully. I told the young folks this week. I'm winding up, so listen carefully. I have not transformed this country. I'm not the Moses. But I've had a pretty good part in the fundamental movement across America. You won't find a church anywhere that'll have the dirty scuttlebutt spread about us and about its pastor that we've had in the last 3 months, who can bring people from 35 states and 5 foreign countries to come all across America, from Oregon to Florida, to come here and be here 1 week and overflow this auditorium. I'm simply saying that there's been some influence. I've had to sit down there 40 some odd years ago. God came to me and said, "I want you to be a preacher." And I'd have said, "God, you understand my daddy's the neighborhood drunk. I couldn't do anything to save this country. My daddy's the neighborhood drunk. Dear God, I was kept off the National Honor Society because I couldn't make it in public speaking. And you want me to be a preacher. Dear God, my mama hadn't had a new dress in 12 years or a new pair of shoes in 12 years. We're the poorest folks in the neighborhood. My mama's worked all these years for 50 cents a day, and we don't have anything. And I'd be the least likely person in that church to walk down the aisle and surrender to preach. So people would be shocked if I do it. What can I do to save my country?" You don't know what you could do. You don't know what you could do. 1974, I got a letter. Up in the upper left-hand corner, it said, "Ruth Elaine Bartels. Dear Dr. Hiles, my name is Ruth Bartels." Bartel. Was it S on that Bartels? Just Bartel. She said, "My husband has been a pastor of a church for years. He just died." She said, "We have no children. I have no family. I'm alone in the world." She said, "I believe in your ministry. What I'd like to do is move to Hammond." But she said, "I don't have any money. Little check from the government, about $103 every month is all she got." She said, "I'd like to spend the rest of my life doing nothing but praying for you." She said, "I'd like to find your schedule if I could. Every week I'd like to start praying when you start preaching. And every sermon you preach, I want to pray all the way through that sermon everywhere you go." She said, "I'll ask you to do, give me a cot and a room big enough where I can sleep in it and a little closet big enough where I can fall on my face and pray." We put her in our apartment here. We gave her a little apartment back in the back of the church, and it was her home for years. Mrs. Bartels got from my secretary my preaching schedule. Found out what time zone I was preaching. Well, I was the first preacher or the last preacher on the program. Mrs. Bartels would begin praying for me before I preached, and she'd continue all the time I was preaching. And for about 12 or 14 years, not one single moment did I stand to preach without that dear lady on her face praying for me. Her shadow was across this auditorium Friday morning. And those young people did not understand it all and didn't understand a bit of it, for that matter. But there are thousands of them wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for Ruth Elaine Bartels. In 1907, a little small town country girl
gave birth to an afflicted child. She sat beside that child for 7 years. She never walked, she never talked, she never said mama, she never turned over and never got out of bed. She went to heaven. That little mother gave birth to a second child after the death of her first. She was a healthy child, but at the age of 7, she got the measles and she died in mother's arms. I'm talking about the woman that bore me in her body and gave birth to my life. She took her second little 7-year-old child and laid her beside the first 7-year-old child. Just a little small town country gal who owned with Daddy a little grocery store, just a tiny grocery store, kind of used to have all over the country years ago. But the depression caused it to go bankrupt. And her husband turned to liquor and became an alcoholic. And left her by herself to rear her boy. Her favorite song was, "Brighten the corner where you are, brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar, if you'll brighten the corner where you are." That song was written by a little lady who had a beautiful voice. She had signed a contract to tour the entire world singing the gospel of Christ. Cover the globe, go around the world. Shortly before she was to leave to go around the world, her father became seriously ill. There was no one to take care of her father but her, and they came and told her, said, "You're the only person that can care for your father in his last days." And she said, "But I was supposed to go around the world soon and sing around the world." And they said, "We beg you to stay." And she decided to stay and take care of her father. And that world became one little room. And she sat down and wrote one day, "Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you can guide across the bar." And my mama sang her song to me. And every night she'd rock me to sleep, she'd sing that song. Every night. Every night. Her world was a two-room shack, but she brightened it. Her shadow only covered one little boy and one little girl, my sister. My sister married, and mother only had one little two-room place. And her shadow only covered one person, but that person was me. But I'll bind you one thing. Her shadow covered this whole auditorium this week. And because it's covered the whole auditorium this week, and for 26 pastor schools and 17 youth conferences, that little 100-pound body has cast a shadow around the world. That's what you need to do. You say, "Preacher, I can't save the nation." My mother didn't know she was doing anything nationwide. Mother didn't say one day, I think I'll get 2,008 young people to turn into full-time Christian service. She didn't say that. She said, "I think I'll rock my boy. Read the Bible to him." A nation saved because of one man, Jehoshaphat. Cattle eating grain, greened and nurtured by water, given because of Jehoshaphat. Freedom because of Jehoshaphat. It may be that your shadow will never cover a youth conference. It may be that your shadow will never cover a nation. But you have a shadow. And you can cause people around you to be blessed because of you. Is the world a better place because of you? Do you stand among the faithful, brave, and true? Do the lost see Christ in you? Does your life ring true? Is the world a better place because of you? I want to be that man. I want to be that man that knows God so well that God will bless me and the fallout will bless others. And I want you to be that person. Because God blesses you, He blesses a child on your knee. Because God blesses you, He blesses a neighbor next door. Because God blesses you, He blesses a community. Because God blesses you, it falls out on a little Sunday school class of boys or girls.
because God blesses you. It falls out on a schoolroom because God blesses you. People eat. And people love. And people live. And people are blessed.
You know what I had, what I enjoyed a lot during youth conference? You never saw a bunch of kids have so much fun in your life. They start doing the wave in here. I mean, they'd spend 10 or 15 minutes just doing the wave. Here, 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 here. Start over again. I mean, we didn't even start. We didn't ask them to. They started. I think Jack Patterson had something to do with it. But you never saw a bunch of kids have as much fun in your life. I'd go back to my office after a session, and I'd weep. And I'd say, I'm glad God has used me to bring a little joy and a little fun into some people's lives. That's the richest life you'll ever live. I'm going to save your nation, give you water, fatten your cattle, strengthen your beast of burden, cause your crops to grow faster, give you a nation that's free, defeat your enemies. Why? Because of Jehoshaphat. One man. Why don't you say today, I may never save a nation by my fallout. And my fallout may never save a city. Certainly my fallout won't save the world. But I'm going to be the kind of person to have a fallout, so that the fallout that comes from God's blessing me will touch the lives of others and bless them. Shall we pray?